This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Wow, I am coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida. Back behind the microphone here at Tantalk Radio Network. It is so thrilling. Although I must admit that I did enjoy broadcasting from my kitchen last week, because there I was looking for the quietest place in the house, and it turned out to be my kitchen with the dishwasher going. I have a new Whirlpool Whisper. It is the most amazing dishwasher I have ever had. Over the years, I've had so many dishwashers, and they have all sounded like freight trains coming through the kitchen. And here I am, actually broadcasting, sitting right next to my lovely, lovely, beautiful Whirlpool Whisper. And it is so quiet. They could bring one here in the studio and I could continue broadcasting. Oh, I wish we had like a lot of cups here. So I need coffee. Oh boy, I need coffee. Wow. Anybody out there who knows a coffee sponsor me and send me lots and lots of coffee, because I have been going through a lot the past few weeks here, you know, in the house, in quarantine, not being able to get out. It's been an experience, and I know, I hate to say this, I know that I'm going to get so many books next year about life through this 2020. So in 2021 is going to be the year of 2020. You know, it's, I just recently, talked to Doris Casey about the Roaring Twenties, which I love. But this is not Roaring Twenties. This is like the most miserable 20s ever. And so I'm so happy that I am back here and in the studio behind the microphone. I love this microphone. It's not a golden microphone. But to me, it is precious. I tell you, it is just so much fun to be sitting here thinking about you and being able to talk to all of you. And then if you're on YouTube, I'm on YouTube. You can see me. I'm holding up a book that I'm going to be talking to the author later. It's called Tree Story. It is quite an amazing book. I was so surprised that it was, it's a book about trees, about tree rings. But it's one of the most exciting books I've ever read. And so I'm really thrilled that I'm going to be talking to the author a little bit later, Valerie Truitt. You know, I just want to again tell everyone, if you're lucky enough to, you know, have family, that just to appreciate them, take time to be in contact. And I'm so thrilled that I have my son has come down from Madison, Wisconsin, and he is with me. And I'm glad the governor has issued a quarantine for 14 days. And now I am so thrilled to welcome back to Joy on Paper one of our best friends here on Joy on Paper. Lawrence Block is truly an amazing author and an amazing person. So not only is he a Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster, and he's won every award that you can think of. I would have to take an hour just to list his awards. But I'm so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper Lawrence Block. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm real good, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, well, this week I came back to the studio. I've been working out of the house, trying to find every week. There was a different room that was noisier than the other. And so I was really thrilled. Last week, I discovered the quietest room in my house is my kitchen, even with the dishwasher going. So it was wonderful. It was great. But I love being back in the studio. And wow. Oh, Larry, this is so much, so different from BoucherCon, right?
A little bit, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm holding up. How are you? You good?
Well, here in Florida, you know, we've had our ups and downs. We have our problems, but of course, we all worry about everybody up there in New York City.
Uh huh. Well, we're staying home.
And how is Jill doing? Because your daughter is one of my favorite authors.
One of mine too. Jill is working on the next book, and she, of course, you know, her legal firm is closed. Everything is closed, so she and Mark are up at their house in the country.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
Fine.
That's good. It's good to be up in the country, and you're getting your food sent in.
Yeah, we're managing.
Yeah, you're managing. Well, and as always, you know, you are one of these authors who has never stopped just promoting their books. I think you were one of the first authors to actually grab on to social media, grab on to the internet, developed a wonderful website so that you could promote your books yourself. And in many cases, you took your books back so that you could promote them.
Well, yeah, I wound up doing a lot of self-publishing, as you know, and I've got a couple of things coming out shortly.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Well, I'm willing.
So tell us what's coming. Yeah, tell us what's coming out.
Well, the end of this month, I think the 31st, is the release date for a new anthology called The Darkling Halls of Ivy. And it's I'm really pleased with this. I got some great people to write stories. They're all set in the world of academia, as in ivy-covered walls. And I'll just name some of the writers who are in here. I'll just go down the list. Right at the top, due to the miracle of alphabetical order, is indeed my daughter, Jill D. Block. And then we've got Nicholas Christopher, a fine writer, Reed Farrell Coleman, Todd Goldberg has a terrific story in here. Jane Hamilton, she's not a mystery writer of any sort. She's more a mainstream writer. Had a great success with the book that Oprah was crazy about, I know. There's A.J. Hartley, Gar Anthony Haywood, Owen King, that's one of Steve's sons, Joe R. Lansdale, who's been in most of my anthologies and is a terrific writer, John Lacroix, David Levine, of one of the two people who run the TV show Billions. He's here with a story in which Albert Einstein's a character. Peter Lovesey has a wonderful story about the old Prince of Wales, Bertie. Shannon McGuire, Warren Moore, David Morrell's story has been getting a lot of attention from the reviewers. Ian Rankin, Tom Straw, Susie. It's quite a lineup, and has been getting very, very well received.
Well, you are the master of getting people together to do work with you, and they get so thrilled to work with you on all of the anthologies. And of course, many of the authors that you mentioned have already been on the program. And Reed Coleman, one of my favorite, and you know, I enjoy so much having these authors. And as you know, we've done these relay interviews where I have four writers from your different anthologies over the past few years. And of course, the last one was From Sea to Stormy Sea, and it was fantastic. And you know, I love anthologies because they're perfect gifts, because you never know exactly what people will like. But if you get an anthology as a gift, and it's coming up to Mother's Day and it's coming up to Father's Day, it really, if you're looking for a gift for somebody, an anthology is a perfect gift. There's bound to be at least a half dozen stories that the receiver will enjoy.
One thing that I think is really excellent about them, Patsy, is that, you know, people generally are drawn to an anthology because there are some favorite writers in the book, and that's what makes them pick it up and buy it. But then in the course of it, they generally discover another half dozen writers that they didn't know, or if they knew their names, they didn't really know the work, and some of them will turn out to be favorites. So that makes it, I think, a treat for both the writers who are in it and who expand their audience as a result, and also the readers who expand their horizon.
Well, it's a very generous thing that you do, and I know that all of the authors...
Oh, generosity, Patsy, generosity has nothing to do with it.
Well, no, you...
No. I don't have a generous bone in my body. I'm impelled always by ego and avarice, that's all.
Well, you give authors an opportunity, as you said, to get out there. And to get known, because like I didn't know Janice Idas until I read one of her stories in your book, and then after that I became such a fan, and now she's been on the program 2 times. So you know, it's
terrific writer,
isn't
terrific
she?
Writer.
And more than that, she's a terrific person.
Yes.
I have just enjoyed speaking to her so much, and I look forward to one day going to one of her parties, and she's just a fun person, and my listeners really related to her when she was on, because she was the important thing. I think this is, as you've discovered, it's name recognition. People know your name. You know, in those sort of reading world, people, when they mention Lawrence Block, everybody knows who you are.
Yes, they all say, "Oh, him again."
Oh, him again. But, you know, there you are. And you're always out there, and you keep promoting, which is important. So many authors, they get to a point where they say, well, do I have to do this myself? Do I have to go out there? But you do it, and you do it so well.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Patsy.
Well, yeah, just looking back, and I know that, as I said, you've won so many awards over the years. But for me, I think the series that I love the most, I've just always loved. Well, Matthew Scudder, of course, that was your first series, and right, that was the first one.
Well, several were sort of around the same time, but that's close enough.
Yeah, but and of course, although. I did think the other day when I was looking through your books, because I have I actually have a shelf that's devoted to your books. So I'm looking at them, and
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I.
You must have, like, do you have a big room there with all of your awards? You've won so many of them. Unbelievable. They must take up like half of a room. But
yeah.
I love Bernie Rodenbauer. Because I love the titles. I love the titles of the book. You come out with such wonderful titles for books. Just the title alone makes it intriguing.
Well, thank you.
And that's part of the genius of the way that you've worked over the years of promoting yourself, taking it on. I mean, you've taken writing on as a business, which is important, because many authors. You know, I meet people who they write a book, or they even might write a few successful books, but then after that, they don't know how to run with it. And you've certainly learned how to run with it. And coming up is a new book, a Dead Girl, right? Dead Girl Blues. Dead Girl Blues.
That's right.
So tell us how this came about. And this is going to be released. Dead Girl Blues comes out when?
Dead Girl Blues comes out June 24th, which coincidentally is my birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
And
And are you there? Oh, I hope he didn't drop. Okay, we can... We have a backup. We have his number there. Oh, no, I hope he's going to call back in. Yeah, okay, he's back. Hi, Larry, are you back? Okay, Larry. We're just getting Larry Block back on. As I mentioned, I saw him when we were at I was at BoucherCon in Dallas. Oh, BoucherCon was so wonderful last year, and I really enjoyed it. And of course, he stands out in a crowd. He's tall, and he just looks imposing. And so it was always wonderful to see as he was going around with all of the authors there. Everyone, of course, looks up to him because of the fact that you never know, he might ask you to be in one of his anthologies, and that can really make a big difference to your name. So it's exciting. But I would like, I hope that we get him back on, because I want to talk a little bit more about his newest book. And of course, I mentioned his daughter, Jill Block, who wrote The Truth About Parallel Lines, which is one of my favorite books. Okay, well, we have Larry back. And Larry, I was talking about The Truth About Parallel Lines and how much I enjoyed Jill's book, and partly, well, a lot, because the restaurants that she mentions in there are mostly ones that I've been to.
Uh-huh.
So we got cut off a little there, but we were starting to talk about Dead Girl Blues.
Right. It'll be coming out in June, and it's a dark book. I don't want to say too much about it. I would think anyone who wants to know something about it should check the Amazon page. Look up Dead Girl Blues by Lawrence Block and read the whole description there, because it's not something everyone will like, but the people who like it seem to like it a lot.
Well, it's a bit adult. And of course, as you mentioned, for traditional publishers, it might have been too much, but that's the beauty about the world today, where you can be self-publishing a book that you want.
That's right.
Now, over the years, have you been censored a lot? Have some of your books been, you know, sent back and said
no? No, not really, no.
So tell us, you know, when you look at the situation today, what's your feeling here about what's happening with this, you know, this whole pandemic? How has it influenced your thought process? Are you, how do you feel about it?
Well, I don't know that we really want to go into that. I like most of the people in the world, I just assumed it would be over, but I don't think it's going to be over for several years.
Well, of course, being a writer, so many writers, of course, spend a lot of time indoors anyway. You must miss being able to get out in New York City, because New York City is so exciting.
Well, it's not too exciting right now.
No, it's not.
It's essentially shut down.
Now, when you first started out, can you imagine? It's the years have gone quickly, haven't they?
You noticed, huh?
Yes,
indeed. Yeah. The years have gone quickly. Sometimes the days go slowly, but the years have gone quickly.
Yeah, because it's hard sometimes to believe that it's so many years, but in so many books, I've lost count myself. You still probably know the count.
No, I never keep track.
No, but, you don't keep.
No, a fellow did a bibliography of my work recently published. A fellow named Terry Zobeck did an extraordinary job, a complete comprehensive bibliography of my work. And the book is entitled A Trawl Among the Shelves, which I guess kind of echoes A Walk Among the Tombstones. And it's everything I ever wrote, all organized with date of publication and so on. And I suggested for a title, why don't you call it The Man Who Wrote Too Much? Because that would seem to apply. But, there have been a lot of books over a lot, but there have also been a lot of years, past me. I've been on the planet for an unconscionably long time.
Well, you know, there are a couple of the Bernie books that I really love, and one is The Burglar Who Thought He Was Bogart, which takes place during a Humphrey Bogart festival.
That's right. With all those pictures, he was going to one or two movies a day.
That's a great book. And then I love the one, the Burglar Who Traded Ted Williams, and where you talk again about a lot of authors. And this is something that, you know, I for myself, when I was reading Carolyn Hart, another mystery writer of America Grandmaster, I discovered many authors because she mentioned them in her books. And and the same, I think, goes The Burglar Who Traded Ted Williams. You mentioned so many authors in there. Give them a plug. And it's name recognition. It all comes down to name recognition.
I guess maybe you're right.
If, you know, I remember when I talked to Sue Grafton. You know, Sue Grafton and I were in Hollywood at the same time. And she was... She tried her hand at working with the studios, and I was also writing, doing some script writing, and I went over there and I saw that, you know, it's very difficult. Hollywood is very difficult, and which is why she stuck to books. And I'm so sad that she didn't make it all the way through the alphabet. But that was
she had a good run.
Yeah, she had a great run, and that was you mentioned her, and that's what authors need. I try to do that all the time, to mention authors' names, just to remind people that there are wonderful authors out there whose books you might, you know, have forgotten about, or you might not think about, but they stand up. I mean, any of your books stand up today. And that's a beauty of having something like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. They can go back to the beginning of a series and read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Very true. That's also one of the great things about the technology development and all that has facilitated self-publishing, because I'm at a point now where everything I wrote is available.
It is exciting. It is exciting. And, of course, for you, the last time I talked to Sue, I remember she said to me, I asked her, why weren't your books turned into films? And she said, because of her experience in Hollywood. And,
absolutely.
You know, and, of course, you lose control. Yeah. You lose control.
Well, it wasn't even a matter of control. Sue just... knew she didn't want anything to happen. She didn't want the books filmed. Another writer, Robert Crace, has taken the same position, and he also had started off writing for the screen. So it's interesting that they both came to exactly that conclusion.
Well, whenever you've worked on scripts as taken from books, I had a couple of assignments where I took a book and turned it into a script, and then I met with the author of the book, and you know, like, what happened to my words? Where are my words? And you feel so bad for them, because unless somebody, you know, really gets into the book and really understands it. And even so, even if the script writer does, whatever the directors or the set designers or people want to do, they do it. You have no control as an author.
Unless you
put it in your contract. I don't know.
No,
Michael Connelly's doing pretty well with Bosch.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. That turned out to be a really great series. You know, from a book. I still think there's so many of your books would be wonderful, wonderful as streaming videos. You know, but it takes getting it in the right hands, correct?
I guess. We'll see. I'm not too much concerned about that. I'm at a point now where all I really want to do is let the books be out there and let them do what they do.
And I think they'll do this. The new book, I think, will do very well. And it's called Dead Girls Blues, and that's on a pre-order, correct?
Right. And also on pre-order is the anthology. I should mention that. The Darkling Halls of Ivy. It's available in a e-book, hardcover, and paperback, and it can be pre-ordered now.
Well, I hope that people will order your books. They should go to your website, which is called lawrenceblock.com, and it's a very good website. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that right early on in this whole business years ago when people were starting to do websites, I thought that your website was very, very well done, because everything that people want right there, they can. It's really neatly organized, and I like it very much.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, it's so wonderful again to talk to you.
It's been wonderful talking with you.
And helping to promote your books, because they are all great. At Home in the Dark was one of my absolute favorite anthologies. And then, as I said again, From Sea to Stormy Sea, you very cleverly come out with ideas for anthologies and to help promote other authors and, of course, to promote your books. And I just want to thank you again, Lawrence Block, for being a guest here on Joy on Paper during this crazy, crazy period of, I don't know, pandemic, epidemic, whatever it is. I don't know. Have you thought of what we can call it? It's not the Roaring Twenties. It's the, we need something. We have.
I think since we all know what we're talking about, I don't think it matters what we call it.
Okay, well, you take care of yourself. And
you too, Patrick.
And I hope to see you at BoucherCon next year.
What,
or this
one
year.
One of these days.
Well, BoucherCon is, we'll have another one this year. Okay? So you take care now.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow. All right, I just wanted to get him on. It's... You know, as you go through all the authors that you read, it's strange how when I actually read one of his books when I was, it was really, I think, one of the first, I don't know, adult, really adult books that I read, because he does write sometimes more adult books, and it was funny. Nothing major. I've always sort of get a kick out of him, because I love the titles of his books. I think it's always so difficult to come out with titles like 8 Million Ways to Die, and that was filmed. That was one of the Matthew Scudder books, and that was turned into a film. Which wasn't very good, but the weirdest one, and this has to be the, you know, I don't know. It's so funny. Now Matthew Scudder is not Matthew Scudder. Bernie Rodenbaugh is a gentleman burglar, and we were talking about among the many books that he wrote. There was The Burglar in the Library, and just they're funny books. They're very, very nice mysteries, clever, and Bernie is a really wonderful character. And talking about Hollywood, in 1987, for some strange reason, Whoopi Goldberg wanted to be Bernie, and they made the movie. And it was filmed as The Burglar. It was called The Burglar. And if you ever see it, I don't know if it's on streaming video. And she wanted to play the gentleman burglar, Bernie Rodenbaugh, one of Lawrence Block's best characters. It was not, I don't think it was a hit movie. It was a little bit weird. But it might be on, if you ever see it on streaming video, watch it. Now, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I have a wonderful story about trees. We'll be right back.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and in a little while I'm going to have on the program a wonderful author. I'm really impressed with her. And she's going to be calling in a few minutes. I don't know from where. Everybody's from an undisclosed location somewhere in hiding. And it's so wonderful that I am back in the studio here. Although I've sprayed everything with Lysol. And it smells terrible in here. But what the heck? We have to be careful. And that's what I want to tell all of you. Please be careful out there. I know so many of you want to sort of... Who knows anymore with the mixed messages we're getting, the stay inside, stay outside, go wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It's getting a little bit confusing, and it's a shame. The important thing is I do think we should keep our distance. You never know. And hopefully we'll get over this in the next few weeks, at least few months. I hope it's not as bad as Lawrence Block says in a few years. We are facing this problem, and I just would like to tell everyone that be careful and be safe and just, you know, take it, you know, one day at a time and find the joy. And one of the ways that you can find joy is in writing. If you haven't written the book that you've been dreaming about, this might be the time to begin, because there is a book in all of us, and it can be a wonderful book, and it can be a surprising book. You don't know until you start writing. It doesn't have to be a novel. It doesn't have to be a memoir. It could be anything. It could be a children's book, a book about recipes of your family. It could be you could start writing poetry. If you're looking for some really inspiring poetry, check out Jim Lamb. Jim Lamb is a wonderful poet, and I've put a link on my website about him. I don't know why I didn't do that. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to put a special link there is an article there, the three poets who were on my program. There's an interview with Jim Lamb. Go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper, and you can listen to the interview. And I was very, very lucky to have Jim and two other poets join me to talk about my love for poetry and their love for poetry. So this is a wonderful opportunity for you to take a minute and get inspired, because poetry can inspire you. And it can also help you through difficult times. So if you are ready, and then again, I want to say, if you want to become a superhero, a detective, an explorer, an adventurer, or whatever, something really super, you could become a dendrochronologist. Oh, wow, isn't that nice? And I have one on the phone right now. This is so exciting. I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Valerie Truitt. Valerie, are you
Thank
there?
Thank you so much for having me, Patsy. I'm very happy to be here.
And it's Truitt, right?
Yes, yep.
Not Trout, although it looks like Trout, almost. And I was thinking, but there's something fishy about that. I said, nope, it's Truitt. And the name of the book is Tree Story, The History of the World, Written in Rings. Now, this is such an unexpected joy for me. When I got this book, I knew I wanted the book. And when I got the book, I'm thinking, whoa, I could not believe how fascinating the life of, did I say it right, dendrochronologist?
Yes, yeah, absolutely right.
Wow, you have an exciting life, and you are also so smart. I always get really thrilled when I have really smart people.
You're
so smart. You have to tell us a little bit about your background, because you're super smart, and then tell us how you have turned your life into something so exciting.
Why, thank you, Patsy. So I'm a dendrochronologist. I study the rings in trees. And the main reason I do that is because I'm interested in learning more about the climate of the past, and trees can tell us about that. I got into this when I was doing a master's back in Belgium. I'm from Belgium originally. And I was looking for a master's project, and I was specifically hoping to go abroad for my project. And so I found this one topic that was in Tanzania, and it was about dendrochronology in Tanzania. And I'd never heard of dendrochronology before, but hey, I wanted to go to Tanzania, so I decided if dendrochronology brings me to Tanzania, then I'll go do that. When I came back from Tanzania with samples, with tree ring samples, and I started looking at those samples in the lab under a microscope, that's when the tree ring bug really bit me. The wood is beautiful as is, but under a microscope, it's even more beautiful. There's all of these intricate patterns that you can see. And then when you're doing tree ring analysis, what you're really doing is matching patterns between samples. And it's a bit like solving a puzzle. So between the beauty of the wood and then the puzzle solving, I got totally hooked. And so I've never really done anything else. 20 years later, I'm still doing dendrochronology. So,
well, and who would have expected that it's so exciting? I mean, as I'm reading the book, I'm getting so excited. There's so much in this book. There are so many things. It's mind-boggling. You've been all over the world. You've done all sorts of exciting trips, and you've learned so much. And throughout the book, you tell wonderful little stories so that we learn about history. We learn about it's just fantastic.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Well, let's go back a little bit to this first trip and talk about what it means to get a sample out of a living tree. How do you do that? Most people, I think, didn't understand that you could do that.
Yeah, so when we went to Tanzania, we actually sampled parts of stumps, of trees that had recently been cut. So in Tanzania, there's a lot of deforestation going on. People need wood to produce charcoal, to be able to cook and to heat their houses and so forth. So there's a lot of trees that are being cut and rotted. And we then went to the stumps of those trees that had recently been cut and took samples from those stumps that we then used for tree ring dating. But generally speaking, we, like most of us dendrochronologists, really like trees, and we do not like cutting those down trees, obviously. So we avoid doing that. And most of us use a hollow core. So we have a core that's about a quarter of an inch wide that you can core into a tree and then extract a sample out of it. So it's a bit, you can, it doesn't harm the tree. You could compare it to drawing blood of a person or maybe taking a biopsy or something like that. It doesn't kill the tree. It doesn't harm the tree, but it allows us to extract the information that we need out of the tree. So that's how we can study tree rings without killing trees.
And the process is, explain you how you put something in and then you turn it and how.
Yeah.
Explain the process to people.
Yeah, so it's a hollow core. You push it into the tree and then you turn it to kind of, it's with a a spiral.
But it's not easy. It's not easy to cut.
No, it's pretty hard because it's not automized or there's no mechanic. Engine or anything. It's just, you know, arm power. So you have to core it into a tree. And you can imagine that the tree is made of, the tree stem is made out of wood. So it's pretty hard material. And typically we don't just want one sample. We take two samples per tree. And, you know, a lot of the trees that we sample, they're up high in the mountains in very remote areas. So it takes a lot of time to get there. And so once you're there, you want to take as many samples as you can. So, you know, when we go out into the field, they're long days and we sample a lot of trees. So can one person easily takes, you know, 20 to 50 samples a day, depends a bit on how old the trees are, how big they are, and so forth. But yeah, that's quite a bit of arm power you need for that.
Now, there you are, young girl, and you tell your mother, hey, Mom, I'm off to Tanzania. What did she think about that?
Yeah, she wasn't that excited. Because like me, she had never heard of dendrochronology before, right? And I was getting a degree in environmental engineering. There was loads of job opportunities. But here I was, instead of doing something with loads of job opportunities, here I was picking a topic that she'd never heard of, dendrochronology. Luckily, I've managed to make a career out of that. But I remember actually telling my mom when we were having this conversation, I was comparing the tree rings to mice because my dad, he was a professor. He passed away now, but he was a professor in pharmacology. So he was developing medication. And to do that, he was specialized in cancer. And one of the methods that he used was to test his medication on mice. And so I compared the tree rings to mice because I told my mom, look, it's just a method. I'm just interested in the climate. That's what I'm studying. And I use tree rings to do it, just like my dad is interested in cancer and uses mice to do it. But yeah, here we are 20 years later. I'm still using tree rings. So it's grown a bit bigger than the mice that my dad has used. But yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. And the funny thing is, of course, 2020 is going to be a major tree ring, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is, you will be able to see 2020, I think, in every tree ring very easily.
I think you're right. I think there's, especially if we look at a chemical consistency, you know, if we look at what the chemistry of the rings, I think we will see a change from the rings before then, just because our air quality has changed so much.
Well, you know, there are so many things in this book, and I have so little time with you today because I know it's a whirlwind when you just release a book, but I'm going to invite you back because I want to talk more about the subject of climate, of tree rings, of the history that you bring into the books. But I because we have very little time, I want to go to one particular chapter, and it's the disintegration or the fall of Rome. And I loved, because my family, we love the Asterix books. You know those.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we hours reading those books. We love those books so much. And so, of course, the minute I get to this chapter and you talk about taking Latin in school, and you had six endless years and I had four, and it was so much fun to read this chapter. So tell us a little bit about that chapter, because I think it's fascinating.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so this is a study that we did a few years ago where we reconstructed the climate in Europe. So we used truings to look at the climate history over Europe over the last 2,500 years. So we looked at temperature as well as rainfall over Europe over the last 2,500 years. And so what we found is that actually the period of the fall of Rome, of the disintegration of the Roman Empire, was a period when there was a lot of variability in the climate. So there was a lot of ups and downs. There would be a few decades when it was wet, and then all of a sudden it would turn to a few dry decades, and then wet again, and then dry again. It was just a very unstable period climate-wise in Europe. And so this chapter talks about how that climate instability, the ways in which it could have contributed to the disintegration of the Roman Empire. I mean, I don't want to go as far as to say that, oh, it's the climate that caused Rome to fall. It's not as simple as that. But there are pathways through which an unstable climate could have contributed to what happened around that period in and around Rome to the asterisks of that time.
Well, I thought that's such a, all of the chapters are fascinating. You managed to make a subject that most people would say is what into such an adventure story that it's just amazing. And of course, I love that Julius Caesar considered the Belgians to be the bravest among the Gauls. I'm glad that you shoved that in there.
Well, I have to be a little patriotic every now and then.
That's good, because, you know, the Belgians don't get quite the notice that they deserve, I think.
Only for waffles and chocolate.
Yes. So many trips to Belgium, and I miss that. I think that the minute you arrive there, they're on the street corners everywhere, and
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And now you live in out in the West, where I don't think they have those on the street corners. It gets too hot in the summertime.
Yeah, the waffles are not the same, but the landscapes are beautiful out in the West. You don't get those in Belgium.
That's why I want you to come back, because I want you to talk more about why you're there, what's happening there, and why the whole study of trees turned out to be so important right there. And it's fascinating. Everything you write is fascinating. It's really great. This book is called, I'm holding it up. We have a YouTube camera in here so people might see it. It's just called Tree Story, The History of the World Written in Rings by Valerie Truitt. It is a fun, I'm telling you, it's supposed to be, you know, like a little bit academic, but everybody will love this. And there are so many wonderful stories in here. I hope everyone will get it. And I'm telling, for all of you authors out there, this is a wonderful resource, because, right, I could come out with about a dozen books just based on the stories that you tell in here. So I have to say goodbye now to you. But Valerie Truitt, I really think you're a remarkable author, and I'm hopeful that people will get this book and read it, because it's a fun book. So thank you for being on Joy and Paper
today.
Thank
you so much, Patsy. And I'd be honored to come back to your show anytime. Just let me know.
Okay, I will. We'll have you back soon. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, it's funny when sometimes you get a book and people will, like, maybe they'll skim it and they'll say, oh, it's a bit serious, because there are pictures in there of tree rings, and you think it's like an academic something or the other. She can tell a story. I mean, it is really amazing. And she's because she's always looking for trees, she's going all over the world and she's doing all sorts of exciting things. And who would have ever thought that somebody who studies tree rings, and I can tell you right now, she's made quite a success. I think her mother is very, very happy because she has her own institute now there with tree rings. And of course, she's in demand because of the whole question of, you know, discovering climate changes. And of course, that's all in the trees. And so it's so exciting. And I hope that you'll get this book. I just want people to get a book so that they can read it and understand, you know, something more. Fill your head with new ideas and new thoughts. And she has everything. I mean, from suffragettes to observatories to New Mexico to everything. I get a kick out of this book. And you can pick it up over and over and read it again and again because. She tells a wonderful story. So sometimes I'm so lucky. I get all these books, and I never know. You know, I open a book and I start reading it, and it starts off right from the beginning. It's an actual mystery about a violin and how they date a violin based on, and it's called the Messiah Violin, and how. When the question of the date of the Messiah violin came up, they found out. And it's really fascinating. And people like Valerie, scientists, I mean, she's a scientist. She's got like academic credentials. It's crazy. She has so many academic credentials. She's very smart, but she also is a very nice person. You can tell it through her book. And so I hope that you will get it. And again, remember, you know, wow, be safe. I don't know. I'm wearing my mask and I am definitely social distancing because I don't want to see another big rise. Because what happens is when you have people in the hospital and then when they lock up the hospitals, you can't visit somebody in the hospital. It is really sad. And so I hope that everyone will... you know, think of other people and we'll get this country working again, but be safe, be very safe. But remember what I always say, that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or hear them spoken in an audible book. And if you're very lucky to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, a major motion picture, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You won't know unless you start writing. So start writing today and say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for cleaning up the control room and spraying it and everything. And I'm saluting him and... thank you very much, Ed. Okay, bye-bye now. Everybody, take care and be careful out there.